stuck at home and you don't know what to do. Hold on, baby, Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got the power. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Lab. It's the Rhonda Shear Social Lab.
Hi, everyone. Happy Saturday. So good to see you again, and welcome to the Rhonda Shear Social Hour. And you know what that means? That means we like to drink because we're still being social. We're still hunkered down because our governor here told us to open all the bars up, so that scared us, so we're staying in. So when you hear me do this, ready?
Yes.
Have a drink of whatever you have. You can have water, coffee, soda. Hair is the word. It's our little drinking game. Cheers. Anyway, we have a great show for you tonight. I'm really excited about my three guests this evening. Very excited. Comedy greats. Legendary. I will tell you more about them in a minute, but Billy Reback and Jan Karam. And then we have Downtown Julie Brown joining us all the way from Italy. And first, you know, I have to do what I do best, and that's promote myself. Because as comics, I was a stand-up comic, kind of, not compared to these two. But that's what you're doing is selling yourself on stage. So I'm going to sell my book, and hopefully you all buy it. It's called Up All Night, From Hollywood Bombshell to Lingerie Mogul, Life Lessons from an Accidental Feminist, because I was completely an accidental feminist. You can get this on Amazon.com, but if you go to RhondaShear.com, you can pick up Lacey Beautiful Panties and Bras and also this book, and it will come signed. So that's kind of cool. And it does give life lessons like on how to become an entrepreneur, how to get your product to the market. It's got really good pictures. Let's see if there's a picture of me and Billy Reback. Nah. He wouldn't date me just because I was dating another guy. No, I don't think he ever asked me out. Anyway, look at me. I'm with Barbara Eden. Like, I love Barbara Eden. Like, I grew up wanting to be Jeannie. And with George Hamilton. God, I'm old. Anyway, so kind of fun. There's really cool pictures in there. And then also, if you go to RhondaShear.com, we want you to get sexy masks because we want you to feel good about your mask. These really work. They even have a little pocket for your filter. So they're very inexpensive. They cover your nose. I hate when I see people's nostrils. Like, that scares me to death. Like, when I go out, which isn't many places, but when I go out and I see a nostril hanging out, terrified. So I think that all of you all should get the sequin one right here. Isn't that fabulous? RhondaShear.com. And pretty soon we're going to have some Up All Night masks that are really cool with the Up All Night logo, some really fun things. What else am I promoting? I am promoting, my husband and I are getting ready to open a store. Yes, kind of crazy and got a whim to do something that I really love, but it's sustainable. It's really cool. We're opening a really cool consignment store. It's not like going to be one of those grandma closets thing. This is really cool with really cool furniture, designer handbags, but there's something for everybody. We've got things from $10 into the thousands, and it's furniture and it's clothing and it's jewelry. The furniture is fantastic. And the name of the store and the website is open right now. So you can go shopping right now. We're adding more every day, but it's called Retreat St. Pete. So www.retreatstpete. Go online, check it out. We want to hear from you. And if you want to consign something, there's a place that you can sign up to do that. So check out our new business. We're getting ready to open. We'll be brick and mortar, but probably not until early November. And then we'll have some kind of like opening party, but Retreat St. Pete. I'm really excited because I love consignment. I love consignor handbags. It's my little secret. Get them used. They just keep going around and around. Just spray a little Lysol first. Okay, so what else? I said the book, I said the mask. Oh, my friend Beverly Center, who always makes an appearance, and I'm just beginning to like her because she's so obnoxious that I'm beginning to like her, and she'll be back next week. She's out on assignment this week, so I know you all have been writing about Beverly Center. She loves you too, and she'll be back. We're doing something this week coming up that's kind of cool. Thursday night at 9 p.m., we're going to do a little live show, same place, same time. So you go to www.RhondaShearSocialHour.com or go to my Facebook page and go to RhondaShear TV, or you can go to that was YouTube. Go to Rhonda Shear TV and my Facebook page, Rhonda Shear. And I think we're going to do LinkedIn. I think we're going to try to do LinkedIn. No promises. Okay, so I'm really, 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 really excited to introduce my very first guest. We caught up recently on the phone. We hadn't talked in many years, but it was like we never skipped a beat. He is a famous screenwriter, producer, comedian. He's been nominated for Emmys and Golden Globe Awards for his writing and producing work on Home Improvement. Yes, that's a show we all loved. Wait. I made a mistake. Hold on, Billy. Hope Billy's watching and I hope he's having a sip. He's on. Billy, I'm going to make you wait. Oh, I love making him wait. I've always liked making boys wait for a date. All right. So my producers, I was so excited to introduce Billy. All right. Hold on, because he's the guy responsible for Home Improvement. We're going to get to him in a minute. But what can we do? We can't start a show without introducing Professor Cocktail to get your night started. My dear friend, Professor Cocktail, drink up. Hair. We'll be right back with Billy right after that.
Pink lady, Cosmo baby, gonna make the drink and don't mean maybe.
Professor Cocktail.
Old fashioned gin and juice, mix it with Red Bull to get a boost.
Professor Cocktail.
Grasshopper my tie, a shot that tastes like apple pie. Tom Collins whiskey sour, a fruity drink with a giant flower.
Professor Cocktail. Professor Cocktail.
Oh, yeah! It's Professor Cocktail in my mixatorium today to make you the perfect Professor Martini. See over here? Today I didn't get real technical, but we, trust me, will be scientific about our preparation of this martini and the drinking of the martini too. But first, I must freshen my vodka drink. More importantly, you test it. Over. 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 And over again. Today, people, I'm telling you, this will be the perfect martini for any occasion. Any! You gotta start with your mixing utensil, your perfect glass. Professor Cocktail always uses perfect vodka, perfect vermouth, a perfect stirring mechanism to give you that perfect buzz. My God, you know what this is? This is one of those wine tasting things that you go around and they pour wine and you go out like this. I can see myself in this. Damn, I look good. Oh. Today we're gonna do a Grey Goose martini. One. You usually use just two of them. I add a little bit at the end just for, you know, effect. Where's my vermouth? I would vote for this extra dry, okay? And then where's my little thing? Oh, yes, here it is. This, you mix it like that and let it... Oh! That's the perfect measurement. Perfect! You don't shake it up. Like, you know, like this. That's not the perfect martini. You stir it very gently until it kind of talks to you and says, it's ready to be poured. You are? Okay. It's ready to be poured. And then you use this lovely little thing here and you do this. In the perfect martini glass. But this is what really makes it pretty. There we go. The perfect martini by Professor Cocktail. Thanks for coming.
That's my friend, Professor Cocktail, mixing them up. Anyway, get back to my other dear friend, who I'm excited to introduce. Oh, by the way, if we have any dropping out, we're having a little storm here because we're Florida. And Billy, or whoever our guests are this evening, coming up, we'll call back in. So please call back in. Okay, so I told you that Billy Reback was a producer on Home Improvement and a writer and responsible for so many shows. And he's been up for Golden Globes and Emmys. He was also a writer on Murphy Brown and Roseanne. Also very famous for the show Thunder Alley with Ed Asner and Buddy with Dave Chappelle, which is very exciting. And for recently, for 7 years, he's been on the Disney Channel, even including some work with Hannah Montana. Brilliant stand-up and a friend. And I'm very happy to introduce my dear friend, Billy Reback.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, handsome, how are you?
I'm good. This is like great video dating. I love this. This is tremendous. You're everything that I heard you were. My God.
Turn them louder. I need to hear Billy a little louder. Thank you. Well, you look great. You don't change.
Well, you know, I did change, but I'm wearing panties in your honor.
You're wearing panties. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not. Well, this is a perfect video date, isn't it?
Yeah, Billy. You know, I was thinking, like, Billy never asked me out. I didn't know you that well. You were very intimidating to me. And then I was thinking I was dating someone, but kind of.
Well, I apparently made quite an impression because we actually went out for dinner one time. I swear.
Yes. No, that you I did. Remember. Well, I did. I did remember that. You were very intimidating.
Is the sound okay in your end? The sound is funky on my end. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I could go. I don't know if it's us that I could go up or you. My volume a little bit. Yeah, so talk louder because I know you don't have problems with that. Okay, so.
What is going on?
All right, so I'm going to talk professionally to you for a minute or two because people really want to know about Billy Reback and your career, and then I'll get to the down dirty stuff later. So, you know, I was reading a little bit about you on the internet today, and I came across, something about your dad, and I know you're Canadian, and so he was this big attorney in Montreal, and I guess he did some really funny things with clients and was very beloved.
Rhonda, so, I swear I can't hear it. Your sound is bouncing all over the place.
Oh, my sound is bouncing.
Oh, I guess what happened when two Jews handle technology.
Okay, hang in. We're bouncing. We're bouncing with Billy. Hang on, Billy. Can you hear me now? This is all I do on this show.
You're playing a harmonica. Okay.
Do you want him to call back in?
So cookie. This internet thing is amazing, isn't it? When they perfect it, it's going to be unbelievable. I swear to you.
Sucks. Do you want him to call back in?
Yeah, we can do it.
Call back in.
Okay. I will.
So I'll just keep talking about him while he's gone, and then he'll come back. Because seriously, he came up with the name Home Improvements. I didn't know that till today. I saw that like they had another name for it. And then he actually came up with the name on the spot for the name Home Improvement. We all know how that show went. And, you know, he has just produced so many other shows and written on so many other shows that I didn't even know. I would have been scared. I was shy. So on that dinner date, I didn't know all that. He was a mogul. He's still a mogul. And he's writing films now. And still writing, and I don't know if he's not performing right now. I have a lot of stuff to ask him, and I don't want to blow it until we get back to him. But he also did, like himself, you know, did all the TV shows like Catch a Rising Star and The Merv Griffin Show and Evening at the Improv, and he opened for Jerry Lee Lewis and Chuck Berry. And that's when he started. After that, he got into television writing, beginning with an acclaimed episode of Murphy Brown, and he's not that old, but somehow he did that, starring Candace Bergen, we all know that. And he even wrote a show, and I heard this on the internet today, that he worked with Carol and Company, starring Carol Burnett. I know he's back. I'm just talking about him. I'm just talking about all your credits, which I didn't even know about until today when I was, you know, reading. I knew he was a stand-up, and you were writing at the same time as you were doing stand-up, right? You were doing all of that.
This is absolutely hilarious. I swear to God, your voice, it's like you're rehearsing backstage before we have to go sing opera. Your voice is going up and down and up, and it's so cuckoo. I know you're saying nice things about me, but I can't hear any of them.
I know this sucks because it's a really good platform that we're on. What's this one called? We can't get them on the other platform. We're on StreamYard. We can't get them on Be Live, can we? No, we can't. All right, just my producers are fixing it. I'm going to keep talking about you. Just stay there.
They're because fixing it?
What?
I have total faith. If you have Gentiles working for you, Gentiles working for you, that's a good shape. Okay.
Here, have a cocktail. Have a cocktail.
Okay, well, I have Bai. Do you know this drink?
No.
Well, it's phenomenal. No, there's like no sugar. And also, when you ask me what my sexuality is, I can just hold this up.
You don't drink alcohol anymore?
Or any less. No, I never drank because I wanted to stay alive, unlike most of the comedians I work with. So,
Wow. Well, cheers.
I never drank. I never did.
You're just funny naturally?
It's hard to imagine.
So you didn't hang around the improv waiting for those two ticket stubs that Bud would give us so we could have two drinks? That was a big deal.
I got four Diet Cokes for the two drinks. Here's the thing. It hurt me because I never fit in. I swear to you. People looked at me like I was a freak. Honest, no drugs, no alcohol, heroin, but that doesn't really count. You know, that's a whole other. I never did. I don't know why. It was never interesting to me. So
I get it. But you know what? I didn't drink back then. I didn't drink till I got married to a Gentile. Now I drink.
Well, that now I understand. Because you're married to a Gentile, or because the Gentile drinks, which one or both?
Well, he claims I got him more into drinking, but I think the truth of the matter is we started nesting and cooking, and then you drink when you cook. But I never drank in L.A. I was too afraid.
Right. But when you went outside L.A. to drink, then you'd come back and you didn't drink in L.A. I understand. San Diego, you were crazy. But in L.A., nothing. No, it's funny. You know, those were the days when if you would sniff, people would go, cocaine, you know.
Oh. Especially and the 80s.
I had allergies. I was like a really boring guy. I had allergies. People thought I did coke. And when I said I didn't drink, they didn't believe me. So it was, I didn't fit in anywhere, Rhonda. Let's be honest. That's probably why we didn't go out.
You did. You did. And you were very handsome and very intimidating. As I was very intimidated by Jan, who's coming up. Oh, I know you guys are friendly. Because I was just this little, you know, not a little squirt. I wasn't that young when I started doing stand up. I wanted to tell people that you were up. I mean, when you were writing and producing Home Improvement, you were up for all these awards, like against Seinfeld, Larry Sanders, Mad About You, Frasier, Home Improvement. Could there have been a better time in the world to be writing and producing a sitcom? Like, those were magical days, kind of like when we grew up in the 60s and I guess the early 70s with great comedy, like Lucy going back. But you were in that magical time period of great sitcoms.
Okay, I know you. There was a question in there.
We lost him. Okay, so I'll just say it again because I've been waiting to do this for weeks with Billy, and I'm gonna have to go kick my computer or something. Guys, hang in there. Don't be bored. I'll get up and do something silly in a minute. But seriously, think about when he was on Home Improvement, and we all thought that was the best. Yet you had Seinfeld, Larry Sanders, Mad About You, Frasier, an incredible time to be writing. He's back.
I am back.
Can you hear me better this time?
I can hear you better, for sure. Let's talk quickly. We don't know how long it's going to last.
Stop it. It's all fine. Come on.
Good.
I keep hearing
that. Every time you tell me that it was handsome, we lose the sound in the picture. I don't know what that means, but for some reason.
Are you still living in your mogul place? You became this mogul, and all the stand-up comics were like, oh, my God, Billy Reback, he's moved to the Boulevard, and he's like a mogul, and we can't talk to him anymore because you were writing and producing, and feasibly you could have hired us, but you didn't. That's okay.
Did you ever ask? You know, you have to, in life, Rhonda, you have to ask for what you want.
No, I never did.
I helped so many people. I really did. The first time I get a job, I always try to figure out who I can help.
That's so great. I do that too. I actually do. No, I'm not good at that. I was never good at that. I didn't sleep around. That's why I didn't go any further than up all night. I didn't do any of the things I guess you were supposed to do. I couldn't ask. But no, you were very intimidating. So let's get back to the sitcoms of today and your thoughts on the writing of today. Oh my God, did you hit on Pamela Anderson? Everyone wants to know that.
Okay, I swear to you. You know what's really sad? When I checked in with the producer earlier, it was perfect. it's unbelievable.
Well, you know what we should do? Okay, should we have, is Jan around? Is Jan? We can introduce Jan, then we could come back to Billy. We're going to introduce Jan. But first we're going to go to commercial and fix this crap. Yeah, we're going to go to commercial, and then we're going to be back with a very special guest.
Introduce Jan.
I'm going to introduce.
Oh, yeah, rock.
We are stronger together in the warm air and gulf breezes, by the sparkling water as the sun slowly sets, where pirates shout ahoy and treasure awaits, where gentle manatees swim past timeless minarets with adventures to discover in historic districts with diversity and charm. In our community by the bay, to make memories beyond measure when you return, because we are all stronger together, where hope always shines and the hip urban heart of Florida's Gulf Coast beats. We will be ready for you in Tampa Bay, Florida's most resilient destination.
So, Billy, you just stay there. I think he's kind of frozen.
I'm saying, where am I going? Where am I going?
Stay there. Okay. So, my next guest, I'm so sorry. We're going to get this right. Billy's right. This internet stuff. My next guest has made numerous appearances on The Tonight Show and Late Show with Letterman. She played one of Seinfeld's girlfriends. She just should have been a star the whole time. But that's my opinion. She has guest starred in countless sitcoms, has an award-winning short film called Under the Big Moo Moo. She comes up with the best names. It's about her mom's visit with her. She's got a one-woman show going on right now called Reclining Nude on La Cienega. It's amazing. I watched it on YouTube and I couldn't move. I mean, I had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. It is the most different, most unique. We'll talk about that show. It needs to be a movie. It needs to be a film. It needs to be something. And she also has a live webcast, which apparently she doesn't have the kind of technical problems I have, where she interviews comics and guests. And it's called In My Bed with Jan Karam. So let me introduce the beautiful, incredibly talented, also graduated cum laude from school, Jan Karam.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's there and can hear me.
Look, hold on 1 second. I'm wearing Rhonda shapewear or whatever.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
No. I know that you like pink, so I thought I'd get dressed up. I haven't been out in 6 months, so it was harder to get dressed for this than in normal life because where's all my stuff?
You look gorgeous and hot.
Thank you. Well, you know, I wore this to my friend's wedding, my friend George and David's wedding, almost a year ago, September 21st, in upstate New York. And so I figured I'd get dressed for your show and I'd wear this, and it still fits.
That's good. That's good. That's not working. That's not working for me.
Well, you know, without the, But anyway. Yeah.
So
it pop up at least. What?
But your show in my bed with Jan Karam, you dress in PJs. Why don't you dress like that?
Oh yeah, you're right. Well, you're the marketer girl, so I'm gonna let you do it because that's the reclining nude show. But what is my intro? And thank you for having me.
Oh no, I am
you
so happy.
This or not yet? Okay, I made. Okay.
Oh my gosh! All right, I'll play hair for you.
Okay.
His, not his, what I'm talking about. I like officer his, so just shut your mouth. Let it fall to your shoulders or your behind. Get a short coming over your.
It just keeps going forever.
Okay. All right. Anyway. I just spilled all over myself. Okay.
We're going to bring Billy in a minute. He'll wait. He's a guy. He's used to waiting for women getting dressed.
Exactly.
Because I know you two are great friends. And I wanted to.
We are.
You
can see the ring light in my mirror. Wait, let me move. Or wait, how come you see it here?
I don't know. Am I seeing a reflection? I love that ring light. I don't live without it.
If you like it, then you better put a ring on it. But that's weird. I wonder why it's picking it up.
I love your bedroom. I like everything going on in there.
Okay, cool. All right, there. We get the ring. There.
So I have to talk a little bit first, because there's people out there that actually want to know about both of your careers.
And that was such a nice introduction. I didn't realize I did all that, but thank you.
Oh my gosh, you have done
a good reminder.
So much. All right, so I know you just recently wrote a sitcom for yourself, which I think the name of it's brilliant, The Accidental Madam, and I want to hear about that.
Okay.
And I know you're not doing stand-up at the moment, because no one's doing stand-up at the moment, but you started, well, I don't know, what year did you actually start doing stand-up?
1940.
Okay, well, to me, I love you, you're so sweet, but I was so intimidated by you, and I was telling this to Billy earlier. To me, it was the Elaine Boozlers, the Sandra Bernhardt, the Kathy Lamon, Judy Tenuta, Rita Rudner. Like, you were
ahead of me, though.
They were ahead of you. Like that. And you were, like, on this, you know, this little pedestal by yourself.
I came to New York, though. I think that's why. And I'd already been doing stand-up for a while. So when I met you at the improv, had you just started? So I started in Arizona, and then I moved to Chicago for 8 months, and I studied at the city, and I did stand-up in Chicago and around. Then I moved to New York. So it's all part of my two-year game plan. Then when I met you, I'd been in New York like 3 or 4 years. So I'd already been doing stand-up a while.
I mean, you had been to the hardest places. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Chicago, New York, amazing.
And Arizona.
Arizona. Because that's going to be hard to find clubs in Arizona.
Yeah. We had a couple of clubs. So it was just a small group, but anyway,
it was really funny because, you know, I'm from New Orleans, and when I went back to do stand up there, Ellen DeGeneres was kind of just starting off. In this little tiny bar, you know, and here's this girl, and she was brilliant. She was doing her telephone call to God, like you never forget certain bits.
Yeah.
But you have done so much acting and writing and producing, and I mean, I want everybody to watch Reclining Nude on La Cienega, because self-explained, it's her show about the search for peace in a world of chaos, a universal story about life, love, but it's her personal journey.
And
take you on a painting journey. Can I show just a little clip before we want to?
Oh, I'd love to. It's so sweet. Okay.
We want to make Billy drink his
Billy's water. Gonna have his coconut water.
Yeah, he can drink his coconut water while we have like real adult beverages. It's fine. No judgment. But we want to show.
He has adult beverages, but virgin versions.
I didn't know that about him. Like, this is a whole new light on Billy Reback. So we're gonna have a little clip from Jan's show and Dana Carvey, who introduces it. So this is exciting. And we'll be right back, and we'll bring Billy and have him talk, and it'll be fabulous. Or Billy can just mime. We'll figure it out. So let's take a look.
Hi, I'm Dana Carvey. Yes, it's me. You might ask yourself, what is he doing here? Well, I want to introduce you as soon as I get over this cocktail. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Jan Karam. Stand-up comedian extraordinaire, has been opening for me a lot all around Southern California and other places. She's a wonderful performer, very gifted, and she has been doing a one-woman show. It's something she doesn't normally do. She recently appeared at the Greenway Theater on Fairfax Avenue, where she performed her show. It's brilliant. It's very different. You've never seen anything like it. Of course, she's a little kidding, but the show is amazing. You're going to love it. It's a truly unique and original theatrical experience. Trust me, no one's ever done what you're about to see. So anyway, without further ado, please welcome my friend Jan Karam, Reclining Nude on La Cienega.
out today, too.
I didn't go to a gym or anything. I just tried jeans on all afternoon. You got to exercise, you know. You have to, because if you don't, another girl will. Lately, I've been staying up every night till 3 in the morning watching MSNBC. You know, because I'm trying to memorize my opinions. When I was a little girl, I had this dream that when I grew up, I was going to become an artist. When I go home, there's always like, there's like the little three-year-old running in the yard all happy and free. And then from the, you know, she sees him out of the corner of her eye. And he picks something up off the ground and holds it up. And she goes, Asher, don't pick up the oranges. And he's like, you think you can come here from Los Angeles with your fresh ideas? And then my mom goes, yeah, you have no right to tell, you know, your sister how to raise kids because you don't have kids. And then my dad goes, yeah, you don't have kids?
Amazing show. It has to be a film. It has to be. Billy Reback has to make it something because he's there.
Yes, Billy was there. He saw it.
Yes.
Right, Billy?
Yes. And George Schlarter, the famous legendary George Schlarter, produced it. And Billy, why aren't you two married to each other?
Because we're too good of friends. Because we want to keep a long relationship, right, Billy?
Billy still can't hear a thing.
Oh, okay.
I just thought I would shock him back in to the set, maybe, by asking him a marriage question.
Yeah, that's probably why he conveniently can't hear.
He muted his computer. How do we tell him that? Can you?
We're texting him.
So we'll keep talking.
Okay. That was the original. I'm like going, why'd they show the original edit, not the final version? But that's fine.
Oh my gosh. You know, just to make everybody, that's because you're the critic. It is so, you can't stop watching it. It's amazing what you do on stage. You're so funny. It's so poignant. It's so today. And it's a very important show that you need to get out there.
It's about empowering, self-empowerment, about your dreams that maybe don't come true as a kid, but you can kind of reclaim them later.
Oh, I love the feet. Oh my God. Now you're going to get so many messages from all my foot fetish fans.
Sorry. You know what? I had a guy order photos of the feet, of those feet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to my
on my website.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You're
foot fetish. Yes.
You have cute feet too. So,
so what do you want? No, I'm kidding.
So, when I moved out to LA, Jan, I dreamed of being a sitcom. That's what I wanted. So, I mean, I tried to do stand up and everything too. That's what I wanted to do. Cause to me, they were like little mini theater productions and every week you do another
one.
It seems like you're drawn to the sitcom world as well, along with doing sitcoms and guest starring on them, but you've not had your own yet.
I did have a deal at Castle Rock, you know, that produced Seinfeld, and that's where I made Under the Big Moo Moo, but it didn't get picked up as a pilot, as a series. So, but I did have a development deal there, and so I've definitely tried, and I've had a few sitcom, you know.
And you will, because it's your time.
It's gonna happen. Yeah, it'll happen somehow. Yeah. I'm a win.
Oh, and you sing too. You sing. You have to be able to do all of that. You have continued to have an amazing career. I mean, you are a working actress and you are a working comic. And people would say, oh my gosh, she's amazing. And she's well known. She's a household name. We know her from all these TV shows. But I know it's like we all have dreams, and I still haven't gotten there. I still can't find my class to get my last term paper in my dream. So apparently I want to do something more out there too. And I'm not sure what it is.
Well, you're doing it. I mean, this show is fantastic. And your other show a long time ago was so great. You know, you're up on, was it up?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I never knew I would be in the panty and bra business. And when I was in LA, I never thought I was going to get married, but I had a mom that pushed that made, because Jewish, that was like, oh my God, you're 40, you're not married. And then And then my first sweetheart came along. It was good though, and got in touch with me, and literally we got married in 15 days. It's a whole nother story.
That's so great. No, I love it. I know that story. It's a fairy tale of the ages.
Well, I wanted my mom. So I mean, I loved my career though, so I was very focused. And yeah, sure, very focused. So I feel like when you're in LA, like you guys, like you got to continue to have that youthful, that curiosity to keep writing and to keep creating.
Yeah.
So especially during this lockdown, how, and your feet keep coming
up. My feet keep showing up. I know. There's another one. Okay.
So who inspires you and what inspires you to just keep going? I mean, I know you've got this one show, but I know you've got to keep doing other things while we wait for us to go. So how do you,
Willie Reback inspires me.
He inspires me too. Right now he's going to expire.
And people like you inspire, I mean, just friends, colleagues, like-minded people, you know, just to stay creative, to keep working and to keep going for what you want to do, even if it doesn't mean that you're supposed to get a $1 million deal or something, but it's about the creativity. But, you know, unfortunately in Hollywood, it's rewarded monetarily. It seems like that's when you made it. But creative, spiritual fulfillment and all that stuff, being inventive and playful and finding, like even with this COVID now, you know, we're finding new ways, like this wonderful show you're doing. We're finding new ways to stay creative, to stay vital, to stay relevant, to reinvent the wheel or whatever it is. And to stay inspired and to inspire others, you know.
Right.
What's the question?
You look exactly. You look more beautiful than you did when I think I met you.
Well, I think the ring light.
I think it's the yoga. You do yoga.
I do yoga, yeah.
And that's so cool.
But you were saying, oh, what's the inspiration or how do you keep in Hollywood? You know, it's definitely a challenge, and it's just like in anything in life, right? We all find our ways to just keep going and to keep going. That's all.
But
it's
you
not
know what?
Funny. I got to think of something funny.
But you know what? It's like, no, it's okay. Everybody knows you're funny. We're going to show more clips of you anyway, too.
Okay, thank you. I love your voice.
But I think that even in any, you know, it's a business and you treat it like a business as Billy does. You all are professionals, although people think you're on stage and, oh, it's just coming out the top of your head. But, you know, even when it's, and that's what it's supposed to seem like. It's just flying off the top of your head.
Yes. But you have to practice, right? Practice, memorize. Everyone's like, oh, I can never do what you do. I can never get up on stage. But it's like anything. It's a skill and all, right? You can't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I love that you have the entrepreneur side as well and that you're selling merchandise.
You know, I think I got inspired by you. Well, you know, the thing about it is it's like that's from the show because it's like the handprint is make a left on our leg is go your own way in life. And so that's about, you know, finding peace in the chaos, find your own way. So I have T-shirts in these bags and stuff. And by the way, I'm painting, you know, I have to paint yours, but.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome.
And I know you want a pink one, and it's been so hot here. Then I put the handprint.
Wow.
Like, reverse. Reverse cowboy. No.
So when we were in school, and I read that you were
I'm being silly. What?
Thank you. I'm excited about that bag.
And you want a T-shirt, too, but you said extra large.
Yeah, my boobs. Forget it. Anyway, so your boobs are fabulous.
Oh, thanks. I'm wearing your gifts you gave me, and I bought your products before, and I love them. I love your underwear, lingerie, your body shapers, and your panties. I'm not wearing your panties right now. In fact, I'm not wearing anything. But
Billy, are you back? Are you okay?
Sorry, I went out for a while, had some dinner, and I'm here.
Are you wearing underwear, Billy? Are you wearing?
No. Are you wearing?
I'm wearing. I'm wearing them over my pants. That's why you can only see my face.
Billy.
Yes.
I don't understand. I'm getting a perfect signal from Jan, and she lives in Los Angeles. I don't understand what's going on here. What's going on?
Because Billy's talking on his flip phone.
If you're getting a perfect signal from Jan, I think the two of you should get a room. I personally.
I think Billy's. You're on your Atari, right?
Yes. Yes, and by the way, I just scored the most points of any Canadian Jew ever. So I want you to know that. So
what?
I'm very, very happy.
Billy, what? You wrote a book called Home Improvement. I didn't know that until I read that online today.
But I didn't know that either.
I did.
So,
can you actually fix things? Can you actually fix things around the house?
Do you want to know? Do you want to know the real story? Do you have time?
I have time. You're on. You've got all the time.
I'm just out of time now. I got to run.
Stop
it. I'm doing a broadcast with somebody in Afghanistan, and the connection is perfect.
Hilarious.
No, I did write a book. It was about the show, and Tim Allen killed it 2 weeks before publication. And there's a story for you.
There's your Hollywood story, right, Billy?
Hollywood story.
I'm just letting you know. It is true. Because he was planning on writing a book, which came out over 2 years later. So he thought that my book would interfere with his book. It only cost me about $700,000. But I digress. But, you know, Jews don't care about money.
Why can't you put it out now? Why can't you? There's a podcast that's named after, that's about home improvement.
It was owned by Hyperion Press, which is the publishing arm of Disney. They own it. And I got screwed. Let's be honest.
Write another one, Billy. Oh, wow. This is a great idea. Yeah. Write another one. Why can't you do another one?
Do you know why?
Oh, no. Oh, no, you're panicking. Come back to me. Come back, little Shira.
Okay. I actually did have really questions.
I'm doing selfie. Okay.
No, this is so good because, seriously, I know we have people watching, and by the end of the week, we have, like, millions of viewers.
Do you think people are going to watch this because it's a little unwieldy?
They actually really like this crazy.
Do they like it when it's like this? You guys, please stay tuned. You don't know what's going to happen.
They stay because this has been happening since day one. Billy,
yes.
you've been up for all the awards, and you're
this
one of my best friends.
It's a dating game with two women and one idiot. This is unbelievable. Okay.
The nice guy from Canada.
I am.
You are like, I didn't know that you came from this nice family from Canada.
I did.
And then they supported your career. And I didn't know that you didn't drink. I thought you were one of those bad guys. I thought you were one of those fast comedians, those octopusy comics. And you weren't. And I'm shocked now.
Whoa. I didn't know it could talk like that. I had no. Now I'm excited. Now it's worth getting up today. You know what? I had a mustache. I look like an Iranian terrorist, and I understand how you could draw the conclusions. But the reality is,
let's say terrorist without the Iranian part.
I mean,
Go ahead.
Have no idea what you just said. I'm sorry. I know. Have no idea. Jen, your hair looks phenomenal. What?
I know. I'm looking at the side. I want to fix it. Hair. Mazel, everybody. Mazel.
There we go.
This is the long one.
Okay. Let's try another question.
All right. I was trying to talk about your writing partner that you currently have is Steve Rubin. And you're writing films now. Is that different? I love that Jan's just left. That's all good. Is that different than sitcom? I mean, how does that happen? All right, tell us about it.
Well, can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're a little frozen, but I can hear you.
Steve Rubin is a great guy, and I knew him a long time ago, and then he called
me
out of nowhere after 20 years. He got married and have kids, and I did neither. And he said, I have this idea for a movie and I want to write it with the funniest person I know. And of course I said to him, he wasn't available. So he called me because I had to do that joke, you know, the fake self-effacing. And I love the idea. We wrote the movie. And since then we've written 15 movies and 8 pilots. And right now in the selling department, we're
amazing.
The math over 23, but we are very
22
close.
Movies.
Pilot.
We've written 15 movies and 8 pilots. So,
How do you go about selling now? I mean, because I've been out of LA now 10 years. So, how do you go about selling? Is it different now?
It's really hard. It's really hard because nobody wants to use a casting couch with either of us. So it's a little, I'm waiting for a female producer to make a move, and I'm easy. So
they can't. They can't do it anymore.
It gets harder as you pass 33, and I did pass that, and I'm looking back, and I can't see it. So, you know, it's tough, but we like to believe that talent will out, and we've actually had some success during the pandemic. I know it sounds weird, but we just sold 2 pilots, which is kind of kooky. Yeah. And you know, we're very close. One of our movies.
Was that the animation?
You don't hear any.
Was that the animation one, Billy? Oh, he can't hear me.
Can you hear us again? He'll be back. Billy, read
that. What's he using for his phone?
What is he using for his streaming? He's on a phone. That's what it is.
I know.
Darn it.
I don't think he has a desktop. Yeah, because we did my bed on his phone, but it didn't work out too well.
You see?
It was like his forehead the whole time. But we love him. We're just going to bring him into the night, into the 90s.
We do. So, yes, that will help. But where can we see In My Bed?
Okay. Well, I did the pilot with Fred Stoller, you know him from Seinfeld, Everybody Loves Raymond, everybody knows who he is. We did it in March, right before the lockdown, shutdown, COVID. So we did it in my apartment. And since then, I've been trying to do it Zoom, you know, and Dana Carvey and Bill Burr, they're supposed to do it, but we haven't, it's not the same show. But I love how you are doing your show. So maybe you'll inspire me. We'll do it that way.
Yeah.
It's so great just to be in the bed, though. That's the thing.
I know. You just have to make sure everybody's in their bed. And then you can do it.
But it's that connection of like, you know, I don't know. But this is working out really well. So,
well, it is when you can get a connection. Anyway,
right now it's on YouTube. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So it's on YouTube under Jan Karam. Okay.
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel. I have two. But... yeah,
I know. You've got great stuff there. All right, we're going to find you.
Billy.
I have a set in here, so I want people to come in eventually, too. All right, hi, Billy.
Hi. Great to see you.
You're a very eligible bachelor. Do you ever want to get married?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. 100%. Of course.
So yeah. have you set your sights so high? What's the deal?
Yes, I'm looking for very tall women.
And are you dating people? I mean, I know it's probably hard to date right now, but are you dating age-appropriate people, or are you going like that, doing that whole, like, well, you know?
It depends. What is the age supposed to be appropriate for?
Well, I mean, okay.
Very funny.
Yeah, while you were gone, Jan and I decided that you need to be on a computer. So I think you have to at least come into the computer age, because all these kids are on TikTok and stuff.
Listen,
so if you're going to date someone who's on TikTok, you have to know how to work those things.
I know the formula. It's take their age, divide by 7, add 3. I mean, I know. I've heard that formula. I'll be honest with you. I had a computer, obviously. It was stolen recently. That is true. I swear to you.
Oh, no.
So, you know, the phone thing has worked before. I don't know what happened, but we can try this again.
We'll do it again with Billy, right, Billy?
Of course. But, okay, so I want to ask you, though, with all of these new, with all this content out there, like TikTok, and younger audiences not being able to concentrate longer than now 12 seconds, although these podcasts seem to be working, I mean, Gilbert Gottfried's podcast is great. But, I mean, how do you guys write for that audience, or how do you create for this audience, even stand-up, when there's no attention span anymore? It seems so different to me.
Jan? Billy?
Okay. Billy? Well, it's funny. I used to do a joke, and I would tell the audience that I just read, this is 1,000% true, that goldfish have an attention span 4 times human beings.
Probably true.
Then I would tell the audience, I just found out that goldfish have an attention span 4 times of human beings.
Then okay. The joke. And what would they say?
The reality is that you're right. They have no, but you can't write down to an audience. You have to write down. You have to write what you think is funny. If you try to, you know, anticipate or outguess, you're going to be wrong every time. You have to go with your gut. And we used to say on Home Improvement, and we're going back a long way, that, you know, we didn't want the show to be so hip that we hip ourselves right off the air. But if we thought it was funny collectively, 10 people in a room who do that for a living, that enough people would find it amusing. And, you know, it worked. So you can't really worry. There's no way you can please everybody. It's impossible, right? So
no, I agree.
What you think is funny, you go with your gut, and that's all you can do. I can't figure out what X number of people out of X number of people are going to think is funny. It's impossible.
No, you know, no.
So I can't worry about it.
So, okay. So, all right. I understand that. So how do you pitch to people who are younger, who have the attention span of humans?
I'll give you an example. That's a great question. I'll give you an example of how hard it is. I had a pitch meeting at Fox a couple of years ago, and the guy I was pitching to was, I think he just had a bar mitzvah, I think. But he was Vietnamese, so probably not. He had acne. He was a child. And he didn't ask me what the show was about. He didn't ask me the title. All he said was, how many cameras? Because at that time, people were saying that a film show was going to appeal to more people than a multicam show. So when he asked me how many cameras, I said to him, it's a brand new innovation, no cameras. It's very much like radio. And he said to me, but how would you do that? I said, you can't. It was a joke. That was the end of the meeting.
So,
you know, that's pretty much, that's what you deal with. You can't take it seriously. And I swear to you, that's exactly what happened. It was frightening. It was frightening. So, you know, I had a pitch meeting once at NBC, and the woman I was pitching to, maybe 23, absolutely stunning. Not a dummy, seemed to understand what I was talking about. And I said to her, because I was curious, how did you become head of comedy development? And she said, well, last year I was in drama development. This looked like more fun.
Oh,
I'm thinking, you know, playing shortstop for the Yankees is more fun than this. But, you know, I can't go to my left on a line drive. So, you know, this is what you deal with. But you got to laugh it off. You can't take it seriously. And I'm not making any of this up. We could go forever if we had sound and picture the
movie. We will have sound, and we will do this again, because I have to have like every guest I've ever had on back on because of things happening. There's different streaming services. We're on StreamYard, there's Be Live, they all suck. But I think they do. I'm so sorry if you're listening, StreamYard, but you suck, and so does Be Live. Because we're trying, and we've got cameras, I've got lighting, I've got stuff.
Yeah, you look fantastic.
I know, I've got a boom mic.
Wow.
My husband's really into it. I'm getting ready to do a pilot. I can't talk about that yet, but self-produced.
You know what's sad?
You have to do it yourself.
Here's what's sad, Rhonda. Our family did a Zoom Passover with 20 family members I can't stand. Perfect connection.
Oh.
Horrifying. Two women I actually like, nothing. It's unbelievable. It's just
that's
nuts, not
fair.
Maybe but if one of you hides the Afikoman, our connection will improve.
Billy, you are so funny. I mean, I was listening to you on that podcast that we did about home improvement, and those two young guys were so in love with you and home improvement. And it really just did bring back like how amazing comedy was. And I don't want to live in the past, because you have to keep going on and reinvent and create. But and Jan, who's like freaking, that show is the most unusual, amazing, funny, poignant one-woman show ever. Reclining Nude on La Siena, guys. You can watch it on YouTube, but it's going to be a movie. I wish you two could make something.
Billy has a couple of movies in the works right now. We can't talk about it. But he can't, I don't think. Not we.
I know. I like to just Well, that's good, Billy. I know that you don't stop. And, you know, I think that you guys both have this wide-eyed wonderment that, you know, when you live in L.A., you stay in it. Like, I have moved to St. Pete, and I'm like a mama now to five dogs. But, like, I'm nesting, I'm cooking, you know. Like, I love my
car. You're doing this show. You have your
No, I love doing this. I love doing this because I love
I mean, come on. You're a mogul.
Well, I don't think of myself that way, but you know, I had to reinvent, and I had to get married, or my mother would have killed me.
Oh yeah,
are you around there? Is Van here? No, he's not even listening. You know, at least when I dated a comic, he was around. You know, my husband goes off and gets lost. Fuck
so
yeah.
Is mine. By the way, can I just?
Oh, that's nice. You got a nice message.
Listen to what Joe wrote. Billy's the luckiest man in the world right now, talking to two beautiful and talented women. You know, that's... Joe, listen, talking to two women doesn't really make me lucky. Let's be honest, Joe. I don't know what your standards are, but, you know, talking to two beautiful women, you can do that for $3.99 a minute, Joe. But anyway, here's the point. I just want to tell you that I saw Jan's show. It was mind-boggling. Truly, truly, truly.
Mind-boggling. It truly mind-boggling. Like, it was just the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
That's so kind. Thank you,
yeah,
guys.
Do you major in theater? Because I know you graduated cum laude, which is
yeah,
so
right.
Were you a theater major?
I was, yeah, at Arizona State University. Hi from New Orleans. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, New Orleans.
Oh, and my husband just came back. Hi,
well,
honey.
Yeah, you're
I was wondering about you. And, you know, I was telling them that, you know, okay, so this is totally away because we have to have you back on because no one can, you know, don't worry, they're going to listen. But my husband is non-Jewish. We can't say Gentile. But anyway.
You can?
No, I'm kidding you.
Oh.
He can fix and build anything. And really, that's one of the reasons I married him. And he cooked. Like tonight, he did real scallopini and pasta that was amazing. He cooks for my crew. So this is why we get married. It's like not about marrying for money. It's about marrying for someone who will cook and build things for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Joe. Best to you also. Oh, Joe and I have a little thing going on now. I may solve my dating problem. I think I found him. Seriously. Look, Joe, Shirley, it doesn't matter at this point.
Hi, Leroy. I mean?
Yeah. Hi, Leroy. you know why they like this show, Jan? It's very real. Like when I sell bras, I talk about titties and nipples, and people like the real thing. Like you just have to be real. But you know, you all know that because it's comics.
Yeah.
The thing as a comedian, I never knew that. Like I was just following someone I was dating this pattern, who was great. But
yeah,
you just have to be raw and open. So like if I was doing stand up now, I think that'd be really good. It's a little late, but it's okay.
What, to do stand up?
Oh no, it's like I get asked all the time because there's so many clubs.
No,
not that there's anything going on.
So
right
wait,
now.
You do stand up now? You do it not now, but before? Were you in Florida? There's a lot of clubs.
Yeah, there is a lot of clubs.
There are.
You know what it is? I'm not hungry for it anymore. I'm not, I want to be, but I'm not.
Can I show you what I made out of the leftover paint?
Oh my gosh, yes. That's awesome.
Okay, so because you waste the paint, right? So instead of just throwing it away and all the supplies, I put them in like extra vases, and then this one's a pen holder. And you can put your little post-it. And it's it's heavy. And it's
you need to sell all of this. And you need to sell it because you're not selling it.
Let me show you my jewelry one. There's it as a gym. I love you. So I'll buy you jewelry. So this
all
is
right.
Where's jewelry?
Where can we buy all these things? I'm all about promoting entrepreneurs. Where can we buy?
I am selling jewelry.
Billy, what do you have to sell, honey?
Billy, what do you have to sell?
What do I have going on?
What do you have?
Really?
On my website or email.
Okay, because I really think that we got to pick up those really cool things. And we're going to, you know, we put all your information up.
Okay.
And
I don't even feel the jet light.
I'm kind of disappointed that Billy's not wearing the robe I sent him.
I swear to you, I thought of it. I went, it's just kissing her ass. I can't do that. It's so obvious.
No.
It's beautiful. It is absolutely gorgeous. And seriously, the price you charged me was very fair. I got to tell you.
Hey, but Bill, you're wearing the underwear, right?
He is wearing underwear. Okay,
yes.
I know I'm jumping around, but I have to because I don't know when you're going to pop out. So your dad, was he in your inspiration? Because apparently your dad was really funny.
My dad was really funny. It really was a competition at the dinner table every night. That is true. And
really?
He was a lawyer, really smart, very sharp and witty. And I'm telling you, it was like it's a little bit Oedipal, if you don't mind getting heavy for a couple of seconds. We were both trying to please mommy. Let's really be honest. And it's true. I would come to the table in my underwear, you know, to try to get an advantage. and because I had a better body than my father, and it was
she liked younger men.
What? I can't hear anything. By the
way, I said she liked younger men.
I can't even hear. Okay.
Sure. What? I think we're going to have to let Billy go and then come back. Oh, my God. Diana Jordan is asking Billy, what's going on with your panties?
Diana!
They're flat. They're flat. I want to please everybody.
We do have...
Come back to me, Rhonda. Where'd you go? Come on.
You are so funny, and I'm so frustrated because both of you are so funny. And I'm so, I mean, we have very famous people watching right now. I just want you to know that. Tonight could be the night you sell everything.
We sell our scripts, our shows, our underwear.
Yeah, we'll sell it all. Like, it's all about sell. Wait a minute.
Oh, this is nice. We all love nipples. This is, hey, Rhonda, you're reading your audience? Well, we all love nipples that are sensitive. All right, thank you, Pyro, whatever your name is. Very nice. But Pyro apparently doesn't realize this is a family show. And apparently he thinks it's the Madsen family show.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. You have moved from home.
Hi, Anthony.
But now you're moving into, like, you want to be more
informative.
I love this interview. I can't
Somebody
stop.
Somebody said it was informative.
It is informative. Well, we've learned about your show. We've learned that Billy does not. Does
you know that Billy uses an avatar? Not an avatar. What's it called? Atari. That's what I wanted to say.
Atari.
Someone I think Atari or avatar. Hilarious.
So I keep thinking that someone stole his computer with all of his work on it. Now, if someone has, like, all 22, all the films and all their pilots, that makes me nervous. And how did you get your show?
That's right, Joe. What?
Who are you
Billy, how did you get your show? Is that what you're asking, Rhonda?
No, Joe just said this show is taking a whole new turn.
I know. It's true. And
Joe,
you're right.
Show, right, Joe?
You're right. The turn is that there's no communication.
This is like we're at the improv. This is what it's like being at the improv after we went on or before.
Okay,
where's
so,
Stephen? I have so many other pictures.
Don't want to look at Jan Stephen while we
Oh, the picture is really bad. Rhonda, you look so weird.
Rhonda, what'd you do with your makeup?
Oh, my God. What happened? Rhonda. Holy shit, your face is melting. Oh my God. We're back. Okay.
Okay, so I think both of you all need to write books and sell them on Amazon.
I will be writing a book, that I can promise you.
Yeah, you need to write a book because you've got great Hollywood stories. Oh my gosh.
Yes, that's right.
Andre needs therapy.
Two of the most, I mean, I have on, hi, Ariana.
Oh, good. Ariana wants the show.
I have two of the most brilliant comedic minds in all of Hollywood on. We can't really necessarily hear them, but it's okay. They're still being hysterical.
It's okay. Pretend like Billy's in a storm and he's rowing a boat, and that's the sound. We're talking to him out in the middle of the Keys or somewhere. In the water. Doesn't it sound like, you know, like some sort of sound that they're rowing a boat?
It does.
You have no idea what this sounds. You don't even know what this sounds like in my end.
That's
fine.
Oh my God. That's okay. What's the secret to comedy? Yes.
What's that?
Audio.
Well, do we have any other clips of Philly?
Can we clip it? I missed that.
Do we have a picture of Philly? Show a couple of pictures. We're going to show a couple of pictures of Billy because we need to give him equal time. That's it from Dave Chappelle show. And this is all, you know, Billy's responsible for everything. Billy has written from the Acme. I guess he was doing something there. We'll find out.
Yeah, we did. That was fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that picture of you. I love this neck. I love that picture of you.
That's so great.
Well, those are the days when we had a good connection. I remember that. That's me on the ladder before the surgery. Yeah. Look at that. 2 degrees of Pamela Anderson. Look at that.
Even I was with Pamela. Oh my gosh. All of you know, Billy Rebeck, Billy Rebeck if you've ever seen a comedy show, Billy Rebeck, and you liked it, Billy Rebeck did it. Okay, so my producer loves Friday the 13th series.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that? Because my producer who's in-house right now is obsessed with that.
I will tell you. The show was shot in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
And I had a writing partner back then who shall remain nameless. And she was a go-getter. She really was. And she found out that because it was shot in Toronto, they wanted Canadian writers. So being the whore that being the determined writer that she was, she contacted the producer and pitched us because I was Canadian. And so we had a meeting, and he was actually a very nice guy. A guy named Mark Scott Zachary, who wrote the definitive book on the Twilight Zone. And we had a great meeting. And there you go. And this show was very Twilight Zone-esque. And he hired us, not because he thought we had any talent, but because I was Canadian. And we ended up writing 3 episodes, and it turned out great. It was really a fun. What was weird was he said, he sort of heard about me, said, listen, every time you think you want to write a joke, don't. Because the show was kind of, you know, culty and weird, and every line was a setup to comedy, but that's not what the show was. So
Do you see what my fans are writing? My fans are writing that show was fantastic.
It was a great show. Seriously, I do have a lot of reboot.
Well, you know, I do have a lot of horror fans that watch the show, and there is a huge resurgence of horror films right now. So maybe you should. Yeah. I know you want to do family stuff, but maybe you should think horror because 2020 has been
horror
kind of
family. So do something about my family. Combine both.
No, my family.
Right. But thanks for the compliment. Yeah, it was really a fun. And I got to go to the studio in Toronto. It was wild. It was really a fun thing. And
which shows you that Billy Rebeck can do anything. You can write comedy. You can write horror. Horror. So, Billy, would you rather perform? Would you rather see someone getting a laugh that you wrote the laugh for, like in a sitcom, or would you rather be getting the laugh on stage?
Who's that question for? Is that for me?
Yes, that was for you. For both of you.
The truth, there's almost no difference. I wrote a show called, I think you mentioned, Thunder Alley, when Haley Joel Osment, who's a wonderful actor, he's now like 37, 38, but he was 5 years old at the time. It was he and Ed Asner, and they were like a comedy team. And I got to tell you, I used to call him the Mozart of comedy. The kid processed jokes, understood the jokes. And when he would score, I swear to you, it was just as much fun for me as when I got to laugh myself, seriously. And I would make every time, because I'd be on the set, and when he would do the joke perfectly, which was every single time, I had a little mini orgasm, I'll be honest. I mean, it was a gigantic orgasm.
No, he wasn't wearing your underwear, sadly.
Well, that's true. No, he wore double underwear then.
God, that's cool to know. So Jan, my question for you is, like what if someone comes along and they wanted to buy one of your one of your many things that you've created, but they said, Jan, we want to use whoever, you know, would that upset you or would you be happy or would you be good with either way?
Wait, they want to use the art?
I'm saying if someone, you know, optioned one of your shows, but we want to use another actress.
I'd love that.
They'd be making a mistake.
I'm just asking from the
back. Nice, Billy. Thanks. But you know what? I'm not selling out, but like if Renee Zellweger wanted to do the show and tour it or take it on Broadway. All right.
Right. Oh my gosh. No, because she's
done what is really, would that be selling out or is that okay?
No, that's not. I mean, I think it's, I would be very honored if someone bought the project and took it. But I understand when you put your heart in it, you want to do it.
But it's also about the story and about getting the story out there. And if somebody doesn't, you know, bastardize it and keep the story and the integrity of it, it'd be okay. And honestly, darling, I'd like the paycheck.
Yes. You guys stay with me for one more minute because I'm having so much fun with you guys. We have a crazy a little bit that we do called the Kook of the Week, and I want to show you the kind of people that we have in Florida. And I'll come back before saying goodbye. So stay there. And we're going to go to our Kook of the Week. Very cool thing. This is a
I love the Kook. I love the Kook.
Okay, the Kook. So we'll be back with Dan and Billy with hopefully better sound.
Offbeat, quirky, eccentric, queer, it's Rhonda's Kook of the Week. Far out, way out, don't you fear, it's Rhonda's Kook of the Week. Up, down, left, right, these zany guests are out of sight. Our peculiar, insane, surreal, it's Rhonda's Kook of the Week. Up, down, left, right, these zany guests are out of sight. Our peculiar, insane, surreal, it's Rhonda's Kook of the Week.
So,
how cute!
That's great. That is
his name? His name is Nardo, and he's very, very wealthy and simple and lives here. So that just shows you why we have the governor we have.
Yes, I wonder where his Rhodes Scholarship went.
Guys, I know it's been hard, but I love that you've been here, and I thank you all so much. Will you come back when Billy gets a computer, Jan?
Yes, I would love to come back.
So mean.
He has a computer.
Listen, when you pay me for this show, I'll buy a computer.
Billy, you know what?
Yes.
If you come, off camera, I have something to propose to you, but I'll wait. And I can't do it on camera.
Okay, that's fair.
He's so cute. I never knew how cute and sweet Billy Ringback was.
He's adorable, and he's funny. He's hysterical, and
I thought he was crazy. He's not. Okay, but I knew.
Wow.
Stand here.
Wow, I'm so disappointed in myself. Okay.
You had the mustache.
I did.
Very
dapper. Did have a mustache.
And Jan
Carroll, right.
Exactly same, maybe more beautiful with the most beautiful porcelain skin.
It's the ring light. There's the ring again. You guys, go to my website, jancaron.com. There's a ton of pictures. You can buy all the stuff there. You can see Finally Made in La Cienega. It's a finished show and it's ready for Netflix or anywhere. Anyone who wants to buy it, but you can see it for free now on YouTube. We have it up there.
It's fabulous. I congratulate you for your show. You will sell it. You'll sell more things. You deserve your own sitcom. Billy will be back and sell everything. And you need to cast me in some small part. Just
Billy, we love you.
Promise. You said soft porn?
Soft porn's good. Senior porn.
Okay.
Honey, if you want to see me now, good. Great.
Wait a second. I've seen your hands before. What are you doing there?
Everybody, chest
up.
Okay. They're real and
maybe that's why the video's bad. You're blocking the camera with your breasts. You know.
Are those naturals?
Yeah.
They were on Shark Tank. Oh my gosh, Ashley! All right, I love you guys. I really do want you to come back. I've been waiting.
Don't forget to order one of the jewelry holder for COVID jewelry holder.
I have nothing to sell other than myself.
You need to write a book. So we'll talk.
Will do.
Billy, I'm going to be in one of your movies when you sell it. Rhonda and I are right, Rhonda?
I'm writing a book. I'm writing a book called Can't Get It Up All Night. But so you look for that, okay?
Okay. Can't get it.
Bye.
I love you both. Thank
Me too.
You so much, Dan Karam.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Seriously, amazing comedic brains in Hollywood. Jan will get her sitcom and sell her show, which is Reclining Nude on La Cienega, please go to YouTube under Jan Karam, and that's JANNKARAM. It is the most amazing show. Billy Rebeck, of course, we love him for Home Improvement and everything else that he has brought to us, and he's got a bunch of things in the works, and I'm honored to have both of them on. And I'm sorry about, you know, we just the streaming has to do with computer, phones, I don't know, it's way above my brain. I love you guys, and we've been having a good time, and thank you for all your comments. We do have, I'm going to bring on Downtown Julie Brown all the way from Italy. I know it's a little late, but stay up. It's a fabulous interview. We pre-taped it because we knew that they'd fall out. No, we pre-taped it because she's coming from Italy, so she's 8 hours ahead of us. But right now, we're going to Julie first, right? Okay, so right now, let's go to... I'm going to reintroduce her when you see this, but Downtown Julie Brown, and we'll see you in a little bit. I'm so excited you're watching. You know that you're watching Rhonda Shear's Social Hour, and we're having fun. And I told you that I was going to bring on my iconic friend, Downtown Julie Brown, which we all remember as an MTV DJ. Then she went on to host E's Gossip Network, and an actress, and she's just iconic. What can I say? She is the only one and only Downtown Julie Brown. Welcome, girlfriend. How are you?
I am good. I think my zip is down and I don't have my bra on, so we'll see how this goes.
Well, I can only tell you that my fans hope that your bra is down and your zipper's down, and all your fans are hoping for the same thing too. So good to see you. You know, girl, you are frozen in time. You look 20. You will always look 20.
No, thank you. It's good. It's good loving. I think it's happiness. You know, happiness.
It is happiness. So tell everybody where you're coming from right now in my favorite spot in the world, in Italy.
I am coming from my crib in Italy, because we came here to actually prepare my daughter's wedding in our garden by the lake.
Wow.
And then, so doing the preparations and getting everything together, COVID hit, and we didn't make it back because we were actually in one of the places that got shut down pretty fast here in Italy, quarantine wise. So we just hunkered down, stayed here, and we haven't come back yet.
Stay over there.
I have to tell you,
I mean, Italy is my husband, Van, and I. Well, first of all, we're married almost the same time you're married. 20 years.
Nearly 20 years. Isn't that awesome? Round of applause to us. That's awesome.
And you know what, Julie? I never thought I was going to get married because I was like very...
You were having fun. It wasn't the thing that was in my head. I was never the little girl that went, oh my gosh, I can't wait until I get married, or... I had a plan of a wedding dress or where it would be. Nothing. I met my husband, and it was just instant. Within
really?
three months, we were saying we're getting engaged, and we got married within a year. So,
so tell me, because I didn't look for it either. I ended up connecting with my first sweetheart from like when he was 13, and we got married in 15 days. That's a whole nother story. But I want to hear how it happened with you guys, because I know, I think of you, listen, everybody knows you as the hot dancer, wubba, wubba, wubba. I mean, you are the girl. And I think if two people would think that would not get married, it would be you and I. So I want to hear how he swept you off your feet, or how that happened.
It was just very, very weird. I went out somewhere, and somebody, I knew the owner of the club in LA. It was a club restaurant, the Sunset Room.
Oh, yes.
In LA. And Ely Samahar was the owned the property in the club, and I knew him very well. And he was just like, hey, Julie, how you doing? And I walked away, and apparently this guy had gone up to him and said, you know, I'm single. Why didn't you introduce me to her? And so Ely brought me back to the table. My husband, he wasn't my husband then, but he ordered a bottle of Cristal or whatever perfect champagne it was. And there you go. You had me at champagne.
Oh my God.
No. Did I say drink or did you say drink?
I said hair, because your hair looks great. Let's drink. Don't look at me. I have champagne. I finished my bottle. My husband's getting me another one.
All right. So we met very fast. He dropped me at my car. I drove home and he called me that night to make sure I got home safe and invited me for breakfast the next day, and I never left. So there you go.
You see what I love about your husband is he knew what he wanted and he went after it. And so many guys, they don't. And women like you who seem, you know, you're on TV, you seem untouchable. I mean, there's Julie Brown, the Julie Brown. And he says, I'm going after it. I'm going after her. I'm going to be the one to win her.
It's so funny, Wanda, because I came to America. When I came to MTV, I was engaged as well. And I had my fiance with me. So I was always with her. There was a moment, like maybe 6 months, where I was a single girl. I had a long engagement with an English guy in the beginning. And so that lasted for a long time because we were both English and we came to America. And so, you know, that was, it fizzled out when he found LA and he found, you know, sort of like the real chicks. I just played one on TV. And then I went out with another guy in New York for a long time, 7 years, but he was very American. And I have to be honest with you, if he wasn't, I probably wouldn't have lasted that long. It's just, I never really knew what he wanted. It was just very confusing, the difference in how I was brought up and how he was brought up. And so that kind of fizzled out. And so I went and bought a house in LA. I said, I want that house with the pool. I want that car and I want that dog. And I had 6 months of just having a really nice time in LA when I went to do the show, the gossip show.
Right.
In LA for E! Entertainment. And that's then after that, I met my husband. So
it was such a great era. I think we were very lucky to be part of the 80s and 90s. Like,
And also we were allowed to be sexy women without being, you know, victimized in the sense of, you know, by other women. I feel that we were in an era where women really loved other women as well.
I mean,
they would love to see beautiful women, you know, or somebody doing well, or another woman, you know, having a fantastic relationship with her guy. And it changed, you know, that changed then.
You're right. I mean, beautiful women, sexy clothes. I mean, I look at clothing from back then, it doesn't exist. And I feel like, you know, I actually have a book, and the book part of it's called Up All Night, but part of the title is Life Lessons from an Accidental Feminist, because women like you and I want to say, you know, we knew what we were doing. We were smart.
Absolutely.
And other women knew that, like they knew it. But, you know, I think you could use your sex appeal and still be feminine and pretty. And I'm so glad that you are still yourself. And and nowadays, I feel like you can't do that anymore. Like, you really have to be.
It's pretty dangerous. I just think. Yeah, well, whatever time I was having out there, it was a good time, and it was a time where I could just feel good about myself, having fun. And if I did hurt someone, it would definitely be by accident, because that wasn't what it was about. It was about going out and expressing yourself and having a good time. And I think we really showed that. I think I proved that I was having a good time.
No, you, I did too. It was the best, the 80s and the 90s. It was fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I know you were a dancer. The dancing, it was great. And, you know, really, the whole Me Too thing, I'm not saying it was there. And like I told you, I don't work in this town. But there's no doubt, all you had to do was say no. I mean, I never really had a problem where, I mean, maybe once I kind of got nervous. But for the most part, I never had, like I felt like.
No, maybe I missed everything by a hair.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what's behind me. I just know that, I don't know. If someone invited me to their hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, I mean, that would definitely say no. But
right, that's it.
But that's just me. And I'm not saying that if some girl said yes to that, that it was wrong.
Yes.
You know, because you don't know, maybe nothing would happen. Maybe love would happen. Maybe they'd get married. Who knows? It's just for me, I was never that type of girl. Mostly I was never, I was always on the dance floor anyway, at 2 o'clock in the morning. So no one would even ask me to go to their hotel room at early hours in the morning because I'd be in the clubs.
There's something not right about a meeting at 2 o'clock in the morning at a hotel room. They just never, you never get the job, at least not that job.
No, never been on one of those. But I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I've had one hand on my knee when it shouldn't have been there, but it was my knee.
Right, right. It's just about saying no. I mean, but yeah, look,
it really makes you feel good.
you're working and people love you because it's all about music. And I think music at this time is so important. Music and comedy, it's hard to do comedy right now, stand up, but for you to be able to bring music into people's lives and great memories, what a great gig that you're doing on SiriusXM.
It's pretty dash awesome, Rhonda. I mean, I never thought that I would do radio. I cannot, you know, it's one of those things about yourself that some people like. I cannot stand the sound of my own voice. So,
God, your voice is fabulous.
I don't like it. And then when they asked me to do the radio, I was just like, oh my gosh, that's really pretty scary. Because, you know, when to do anything well, especially in our business, you have to listen to yourself and watch yourself and learn about what you're doing and making sure that you're staying on top of your game. So when I first started the radio, I was like, oh, I'm trying to find my voice. But when you get past, it's not about you. Actually about the listeners. I'm really enjoying it. I take the whole me out of it and I just go on the mic and I just act like I'm sitting in a room full of a whole bunch of people and just having a
good time. So cool. I hear you. I catch you all the time. It brings you back to wonderful moments along with new people that are finding you
and finding you know, people that probably didn't watch MTV are getting to learn about some of the stuff that went on during the MTV days, because I just do the 90s show, the 90s on 9 on SiriusXM, and the other VJs do the 80s on 8, because, yeah, obviously, because they're way older than me. No, I'm just kidding.
When I think MTV, I think you. I mean, I know there's, but I always say, I mean, to me, you're the epitome of that era. You're timeless and ageless, which is fabulous.
I think it was a fun time. Lucky me to be brought in like 86 through, you know, 96, to have that freedom of being, especially being on a platform that was still learning as well. So they'd throw you into things and whatever came out of it, you know, hopefully it was good.
It was the beginning of cable, and it was so much fun because they gave us so much freedom that isn't around, even with all the different places there are. And I mean, there's so many, you know, so much out there. It's almost too much, you know.
We go back a little ways.
We do.
And then hanging around Judy Tenuta.
And then I was saying earlier that you were co-host with Leslie Nielsen of Circus of the Stars. I did some bizarre acrobatic act.
You are about to see an act that looks simple, but it's actually deceptive. It's really incredibly intricate and tricky to learn. And the star who's going to do it for you is amazingly sexy and curvaceous and...
Leslie, I'm so glad I caught you. You know the girl that's about to do the next act? Don't joke about around her. I just found out she's the producer's girlfriend.
Very talented, serious actress who...
And she doesn't even know the act.
Who is going to show us her interpretation of the classic web routine. Here is the lovely and extremely well-connected Rhonda Shear.
Oh my God, I had to fly from that trapeze. I almost pee-peed my hand. That was awful.
We were like, we can do that. I can hang upside down. What?
Yeah, horrible. But you've
done films. But you know what's so cool is then you're in Italy and you can still do... your DJ VJ thing from there, which is
I can. My husband built a studio downstairs in the lower office, which, you know, normally that's where I do some interviews and stuff, but I just thought it was so beautiful out here and I wanted to make you just jealous. So, you know, normally you come to Italy every year.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Now you know I'm here. We will hook up when you come next time.
You have no idea. I get the chills about Italy. I cannot express, you know, we're going there maybe 7 years now, and then we kept going back every year. I feel like it's my second home. There's something about that country that I have this feeling for.
Where do you normally go? Where do you go? Do you go south? Do you go to Tuscany?
We've been to Tuscany and all of, I can't remember all the names. I'm so bad.
We've
been in a villa in Tuscany. We've done all the big cities. Then we've done all the coast, the Amalfi Coast. We haven't been all the way down, you know.
Well, I'll just give your viewers just a little snippet. The sun is setting.
I can't handle it. You just don't even know. You know, the food there, I'm a fish person. So the fish.
And the cheese.
Okay, hair. Your hair looks great.
Oh, my God.
This is not from the champagne.
If you can hear the squeaking, it's not me. I swear, it's my chair.
Oh, that's okay. Do you have a puppy or a cat or anything else?
I do. Hold on.
Okay. Oh, good. We love seeing the baby animals on the show. I know mine are hanging around in their little beds, right? Oh, I can't. Oh, no, I can't handle it. Is it a Yorkie?
And this is little Gigi Sherman.
Oh, Gigi Sherman.
And she's 13 years old. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, she's beautiful. I've got five of them by my feet. I've got 13, 12, and then some babies.
And you have Yorkies?
I had a Yorkie. I lost her a couple of years ago. And my Tiki. And there's Yorkies. Look, I know. They're showing the dogs by my feet right now. We have sweet.
Gosh, are you kidding me?
I know, those are all dog beds and caves.
Now, this one, it follows me around like I really should have called her Tick because she's just always with me.
So was she born in America or was she an Italian dog?
No, she is American, full-on American, and they get very confused with her name here because Gigi in Italy is for a boy, but she's a girl, so I have to say it's Gigi France. otherwise, they think she's a boy, but she doesn't.
I have to tell you, what they say about Italian men is true. What is with the men over there? They are so beautiful. The men are gorgeous in Italy. I mean, the women are pretty, but the men are gorgeous. Oh, there they go.
Someone hit the door. Italians in general are just the sweetest, kindest. They just open their arms to everyone. You know what they say? You say if you go to France, you can speak 95% of the language, and they still look at you and go, Whereas in Italy, if you can speak just 5%. Of the language.
They're so giving.
They try so hard and they're so sweet and welcoming. Oh, Gigi, no, that's right.
But you know what? Italian people are the best. They truly are the most amazing. The last time I was there, this is crazy. I got some kind of flu and I ended up, it was before.
Oh, no.
I ended up in a hospital, but the people, even, and they didn't speak English. They were so nice. The nurses, like, they were so nice to me.
And the price in the hospitals here are like this much compared to the hospitals.
When we checked out and they said what it was after I had MRIs and all that, I had extensions in, and the nurse was helping my husband take the extensions out. It was pretty great because they were metal.
Because you had to take them out for the
MRI. So yeah. they were so sweet though. They were so sweet. But it was something. I had a bad ear and I couldn't get back, but still it's just what it is. I just caught something. Cause I forget the name of the nightclub. We were in Capri, but it's a very famous club and what I love about it too is that there's no age. Men dance with all ages, young women, old women, bigger women, small women.
They love life.
Yeah.
And then you extension, I told my husband, God forbid, if anything ever happens to me, whatever happens, just make sure that you put the extensions in before anybody sees me.
Believe me, I get it. That was actually, so here's my husband taking tools from the nurse and going,
amazing, by the way.
What?
He sounds amazing.
He's, you know, he's downstairs right now, and I knew he was excited, and he didn't bring me my champagne, but that's okay.
I know, right?
So you know what? I have to tell you about my husband. What is your husband's first name? What is his first
Martin. Name? His name is Martin.
Martin. Well, Van. Yes. My Van took my virginity when we were young. Oh. So that bad boy has to make up for it. So
how young were you? Oh, you didn't say hey.
I think I was 15.
Ooh, okay.
But no one ever knew that because my mother thought I was a virgin right up to the time I got married, which was 45.
So your mom's just as sweet as you. She must be because she called you honey, right? Your middle name is Honey, right?
Yeah, my middle name is Honey. Middle name is Honey. Yeah, right. Very southern lady, very, very crazy. Oh, I mean, no, I had a crazy upbringing. But you were born in London, right?
I was born in London. My father was in the Royal Air Force, so I'm an Air Force brat. And so we moved around a little bit, but we ended up in Wales. His last postings was in Wales, and so I lived there. I lived there for a little bit, and that's where I entered the dance competitions and how I got the ball rolling when I won the World Dancing Championship, and then that got me into London, into television, and then from London I came to America. So.
Well, you were made for it. You were definitely.
I had such a good time. I am.
Wait, are you? Are we seeing your face anywhere right now? Are you doing any podcast or web? You need to do it,
girl. I don't want to be anywhere near those. Like you know, back in the day when I was on TV, the screens were this big in all the houses and the places. I don't want to be on those huge, big screens up close. I'm just like, oh.
You are beautiful, girl. Your eyes are the most, you have the most exceptional eyes I've ever seen. Yeah. Your eyes.
I don't even know what I look like. So I'm hoping.
No, you're gorgeous. And your husband loves you and your figure's fabulous. And I love talking with you.
Darling, it's a pleasure to see you. Absolutely wonderful. I do hope that all this will be over soon, that this will pass and
we will come find you and hopefully you'll come back and visit the United States. Although I have to tell you, we would head for Italy too. If something doesn't go right here, we're going to be your neighbor because we have to be on the water. We live on the water in Florida now. I live in Florida. And so
my daughter just moved there. She just got married there.
Oh yeah. Well, congratulations. What part? Where is she?
I have no idea.
Well, anything I can do for her, seriously. No
problem. She's married now.
I get it. Van came. I got two stepkids, and now I have six step-grandchildren. So I never had any of my own, but I got a whole bunch. But
I don't feel bad at all about saying I'm going to take this next 3 months off. She just got married. I'm like,
well, if there's anything she needs or she ends up in this area, please, you know, we have her reach out to me. I'm serious.
Thank you so much for having me on. That's lovely to see you. And love your hair.
I love your hair. And hopefully you'll come back and join us. Gorgeous girl. Bye, Julie. Bye. Cheers. Downtown Julie Brown. Oh, my gosh. There's an icon. There's a lady who gets it anyway. You can listen to Downtown Julie Brown on Sirius XM. She's 90s on the 9. So when you're in your car, you can listen to that spectacular voice. And she is as beautiful as she was and fabulous. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with more of Ron to share social hour. And let's just do a little hair. Van's getting in shape. We're going to come over here. Downtown Julie Brown. She was very cool. We did pre-tape her because, again, she's way ahead of the hours. So she's fabulous. That was fun. I definitely have had a great time. I hope you have too. I would like to say thank you to Jan Karam. Go and look at her show, Reclining in La Cienega. She's fabulous. She's so funny. Such a lovely person and so smart. And I'd like to thank Billy Meback. We all know him as a writer, producer. I wanted to ask him more because I know he came up with the name Home Improvement. We'll get him back on where we can hear him a lot better. But Billy Meback from Home Improvement and Stand Up and everything else that he's doing. I do have one last bit before saying goodbye, and you all have asked for it. So I'm going to introduce the Foot of the Week. And wait, don't forget, this coming Thursday, we're going to do a little special show. So check it out here on RondaShareSocialHour.com or go to my YouTube page, RondaShareTV. Or Facebook on to share. So Thursday at 9 p.m. a little special something something that'll be live. And also write to us on www.rondashareSocialHour.com. If you think you got something kooky that you can do, we'd like to invite you to be our kook of the week, or just go check it out and write us and tell us what you want, who you want to see on, all those good things. Thank you again. Here's the Foot of the Week, and I'll see you Thursday and the following Saturday. 99.
And you don't know what to do. Hold on, baby, Rhonda, she's got you. Grab your computer, log on, baby, you got